This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The release of three Americans held in North Korea, imminent.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Kim Jong-un has long been taking Americans hostage to use as bargaining chips in his negotiations with the international community. But now three of those Americans may be released imminently, according to the Trump administration.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Reports just this morning that three Korean-American hostages have been relocated from a forced labor camp to a private hotel just outside Pyongyang in advance of President Trump's face-to-face summit with Kim.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. So North Korea currently holds three American citizens prisoners. I'm going to give you the details on those three individuals, but they've been held one since October of 2015, another one since May 6th of 2017, and then the third one on April 22nd, 2017. All three are believed to be serving in prison camps, or have been serving in prison camps, what's called forced labor. Now, also, it's important to note that some of these individuals, and this one's very interesting, Kim Dong-chul is age 64. He's been held since October of 2015. We've talked about his case on the broadcast before, and was sentenced to serve 10 years of hard labor for alleged espionage, and that was in April of 2016. He's a South Korean-born U.S. citizen and Christian pastor who lived in Fairfax, Virginia. Prior to his arrest, he was living in Ranson, North Korea, in a special economic zone, running a trading and hotel services company. He was arrested for, ready for this part of it again? Here we go. They arrest him for, again, a lot of this is his religious faith and propagating the gospel, which these regimes view as a crime. So I think when you have the charge of spreading Christianity at play in one of these individuals, the others also, Kim Hak-song, age 55, worked at Pyongyang University, the only privately funded university in North Korea. The university is largely funded by evangelical Christian groups in the United States. And that's another one that is being held. And the third is Kim Sang-duk, and he is age 59, was also a teacher at the same university. He was arrested at the airport for hostile acts. He was engaged in humanitarian effort helping North Korean orphanages. So that's what we know right now. But, Logan, we've got some additional facts that are also being at least reported.
That's right. Reports are that they have all been moved actually in early April from these camps, these labor camps, to a hotel in Pyongyang in South Korea. So, or near Pyongyang in South Korea. So it's something that's happening right now. It's being reported now, but it's actually gone on over the last, now looks like a month, which would make sense sort of in the timeline of how things have been proceeding in North and South Korea.
Well, in our cases involving hostage negotiations, we know when there's a move of location to either a hotel or to an embassy, a hospital sometimes. Yeah, that's indicative of a move. We saw that in the case involving Yosef Narakani. We saw that in the case involving the Abedinis. We've seen it in a number of these cases.
It's almost a halfway house to get people out.
Yeah, so that looks like that's in place. But we're also getting reports then that this is an imminent move. So politically, I know there's been a lot of pressure from Congress on this.
Well, it'd be an enormous stride in the right direction. And quite frankly, Jay, it would be the latest in a series of strides that the North Korean leadership, specifically Kim Jong-un, has taken in advance of his summit with President Trump. Of course, Mike Pompeo, before he was confirmed, made a visit over there. And the reports out had been that the release of these prisoners, while not tied to the nuclear deal, Jay, would be something that the United States would like to see as a goodwill gesture for improved relations. So you take that in conjunction with the leaders' statements that denuclearization is on the table. Jay, I only come to one conclusion, and that is that the maximum pressure strategy of this administration is working, and it's working in a pretty expedited fashion.
Yeah, I would say so. So I'm optimistic about that. So again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110, and we'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break. Logan's going to let you know also how to get your comments in via Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're also broadcasting live video and audio. It's like a television show if you watch it online. That's at aclj.org, facebook.com/jsekulow, Periscope, and Twitter at jsekulow. Again, broadcasting live there right now.
By the way, we're going to go a little bit later in the broadcast into a statement that just came out of Mahmoud Abbas, continuing that there is no legal basis for a Jewish homeland. We're going to talk about that later in the broadcast as well and take your calls at 800-684-3110.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we're reporting that imminently, and when I mean imminently, in the next, either, it sounds like hours or within the day or so, that the three American hostages that are held in North Korea are going to be released. A couple of those have a tie-in on a faith issue, and that is one was charged with spreading Christianity, which of course they view as a crime. The other was working for a university that was primarily funded by evangelicals and other Christian groups. So that's going on. This is also happening on the National Day of Prayer. So that proclamation was signed by the president this morning. Let me just say, as we're celebrating the National Day of Prayer, it would be great to be praying for these three Americans and their imminent release. I want Logan to give an update as to what looks like physically has happened, and then I want Skip Ash, who served in Korea, right there in the DMZ. I'm going to get his comments in a moment, but let's give you a sense of these people have been held in jail. Some going back to May of 2016 or 2017, April of 2017, and then a third individual was held hostage
for
10
years, playing for hard labor, a lot of things not good. And what we've seen now is that they have been moved. Reports are that they have been moved, that the three, hostages in some ways you want to put, have been moved to a hotel. Like we said, and President Trump tweeted out to stay tuned for updates of what's coming. So that's usually a good sign. And we hope that everyone comes back in good health and this all works out. But you are right that it seems like, you can say, people say different things about the strategy of this administration. But when it comes to the situation in Korea, it's hard to look at that and not see this as a huge success right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the fact that they've been moved is a positive sign. So we've got this, Skip, how would you describe the policy that the president is implementing here? Than talked about it briefly. How do you view it? Because obviously we're going to get to the table with North Korea, which is pretty amazing in itself. And now you got the American hostages about to be released.
Well, I think the president has done exactly the right thing. He has been strong all through this process. He's taken no guff from these folks. In the past, every administration has offered them concessions so that they will act more civilized. We realize, and I think this administration realized, they will only act in a civilized manner if they're compelled to act in a civilized manner. So as he has continued to apply more and more force, they have felt the pressure, and now what they're trying to do is to appease him and to come back and to give him something that he wants to start relieving the pressure. So I think it's the pressure being applied that is now moving these three individuals, hopefully to be released soon, and also that has led to this idea of having face-to-face talks and to get rid of the nuclear program in North Korea.
I would sure like to hear what our audience has to say about the president's approach on North Korea. whether you agree with it or if you disagree with it. I think it's been the right approach. Van, how would you describe the approach that the president's usually using on this earlier? I think it's worth restating.
Well, look, contrast it with the approach that we saw in Iran, Jay. In that case, we gave them everything up front. We gave them cash. We unfroze their assets. And what did we get in return? We got a promise for progress on the nuclear issue, which, by the way, hasn't materialized, in my opinion. But this approach, Jay, has been exactly the opposite. The president said from the very beginning, this is going to be a maximum pressure campaign. We are not going to give anything to them in order to sit them down at the table. In fact, we're going to dial up sanctions. We're going to improve trade relations with South Korea. We're going to put pressure on the Chinese to also come to the table and pressure North Korea to move our direction. And now, Jay, this last bit of news, it's a very significant one, but it's almost just the cherry on top. It is North Korea actually coming to the table and saying, look, we are going to make a goodwill gesture. We know that it's not tied to the nuclear deal per se, but it is our effort to say we want to show goodwill. We want to sit down at the table. We want to have improved relations with you. So, Jay, it's the exact opposite approach that we saw on Iran. And guess what? In Iran, we went the wrong direction. In North Korea, we have rapidly moved in the proper direction.
All right. So, we are taking your call at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say on this National Day of Prayer, pray for Pastor Yuen Soo Lim. He is Canadian, and right now he is still in prison. As far as we know, he's not part of the release with the U.S. So, again, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Talk about the policy. I think it's not ironic that it happens on the National Day of Prayer. I think pray for these individuals that they have safe transit, that they actually get out. Things can happen. Believe me, we know because we've done these multilateral negotiations on hostage releases. It's fair to say it's fraught with potholes.
Oh, that's exactly right. You never know what's going to happen until it happens, because there's always something that can go wrong in the process. And you never know when they're going to change their mind or they're going to put out some other demand they want before they act. So it's you're right. Until you have the hostage in hand, nothing's resolved.
All right, well, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go to Raj in Vienna, Virginia. You're on the air.
Raj always has a good comment. So I'm sure on this National Day of Prayer, Raj, you're ready to go.
Praise the Lord is the comment.
Yes, sir.
We thank him for his tender mercies, his great faithfulness, and much that we look at what people do. Our president has done excellently, so has our Secretary of State. But the hand of God has gone before them. God's people have prayed, and we should keep praying, not just for the persecuted and for their comfort and strength and encouragement, but for the persecutors, that they may know the end of their way. And that is when we can proclaim both the judgment of God upon them and the love of God for them, as the love of God has been proclaimed through these pastors. We thank God for their lives, their ministry, their families. They've endured a lot. And so our praise and thanksgiving goes to them all. And for Jay, for you and your team, who've labored abundantly. May God bless your efforts as they continue. Thank you.
Raj, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. But look, as you just said, don't stop praying till these people are at home in the United States, and then keep praying even after that, because a lot of things can happen in these kind of negotiations. But I am very glad and very optimistic, at least, that there is going to be an imminent release of these Americans. That's always a good thing. We're getting a lot of questions. Callers are coming in at 1-800-684-3110. But, Logan, we're getting a lot of calls also, or a lot of comments and statements on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. A lot of comments coming in. Really hope the people said that the mainstream media is awake and watching. A lot of comments about Pastor Brunson, and if you think this will sort of pave the way for that.
I think it helps. It shows that tough diplomacy can get results.
In North Korea.
It got in North Korea. Then you ask yourself, why in the world would it not work, Than, in Turkey, of all places, where it's a NATO ally?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, it's a sign that President Trump means it when he says something, and he will follow through. He has followed through on pressure with the North Koreans. And then, Jay, if this moves in a positive direction, the prisoners get out, the president meets with the leader of North Korea, and those talks progress, what does it do? It sends a further sign to Turkey and President Erdogan that if he wants relations with the United States to improve, he is going to have to play ball, much like Kim Jong-un to this point. Granted, it's not done till it's done, but has done. So I think it is a consistent message across across the board. And Jay, I would add one more piece to this. Now, the diplomatic pieces are in place for President Trump. Obviously, Secretary Mike Pompeo has been central in this. He'll be central on the Andrew Brunson case. You know this better than I do.
He has been engaged
for Pastor Brunson. So I think this is nothing but positive for that situation.
Well, in that regard, I had the opportunity before Mike Pompeo was confirmed when he was the Secretary of State designate. I had the opportunity to talk with him about Pastor Brunson, and he is fully engaged, fully informed, and is going to put the assets at the State Department. I also had the chance to talk to Rick Grenell, who's being sworn in, I think, even this afternoon, to be the ambassador to Germany, a G7 country that has had to negotiate with Turkey for the release of a hostage. So Ambassador Grenell will be a big help. And again, thank you to all of our ACLJ members for helping both of those well-qualified individuals get confirmed. We're going to go ahead. We got some interesting comments coming in on Facebook. We're also taking calls at 800-684-3110. Good calls.
Yeah, D on Facebook said, I think the tough sanctions President Trump placed on North Korea have worked. And Cynthia on Periscope said, we pray for the pastor, also obviously held in Turkey. So we're getting a lot of comments about
that. Yeah, well, Cynthia, thank you for praying for Pastor Brunson. Next trial date on that is a few days away, Monday. So we'll have news on that. We'll keep you posted. Last time we were able to get reports, remember, live from the hearing. So hopefully we'll be able to get that for you. Dee raises an important point, though, Skip, and that is she said the tough sanctions on President Trump placed on North Korea apparently have worked. And I think we're going to have to do the same thing with Turkey. But what's your sense on the impact that the president's approach had in the situation getting to this point with North Korea?
I think it's crucial. I think Kim Jong-un is a person who is surrounded by yes men, so he doesn't take anything from people telling him bad news. But when he gets bad news that he cannot miss, which is what's happening with the sanctions placed on North Korea by the president, it was unmistakable. No one could miss that message. He's gotten the message, and he's beginning to respond to that strong message.
All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to take more of your comments and more of your calls. If you want to talk about the situation with North Korea, your view of the foreign policy decisions, those of you that have served in the Korean Peninsula. We love hearing from the military men and women that have served our country in that region. We would love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So the news is that the three hostages, Logan, have been moved, and we know what that usually means.
Yeah, it's usually a good sign. They've been moved to a hotel in the area, but that's usually, again, heading towards release. We kind of know that from working on these cases previously, that those are all really good signs. And the fact that it even happened a month ago and we're finding out just now about it means that negotiations probably have been taking place.
Yeah, I think that's right. And we know the negotiations are taking place, and it looks very much like the release is going to be imminent. If we get any updates on that, even after we're on air, we'll get it to you on social media. Again, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Second half of the broadcast, talk a little bit more. We'll talk about this, but also some of these comments coming out of Mahmoud Abbas. He's being isolated, folks. The Palestinian Authority, and he's reacting. And I think, again, that strategy is working also. Again, 1-800-684-3110, back in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So we got three hostages that are Americans in North Korea. They are about to, they're imminently, the release is imminent. A couple of them were charged with spreading Christianity at a university in North Korea, by the way, that's recognized as one that's funded primarily by Christians. But again, they were picked up, and the president, as part of the negotiating process, has secured, it looks like, their release. And they're not out till they're out. We've done these all over the world. So, I mean, again, we should be in prayer for them as they get ready to get out. And as Logan, again, update you, Logan just said that they've been moved to another location. That is always, we always view that. We've been doing these kind of negotiations for a long time. When there is a transfer to another location that's not a jail, that's usually a very good sign.
Yeah, when you move to somewhere like a hotel, that seems to be a good sign, a good move in the right direction, especially now that it's been roughly a month since that's happening. We're just finding out about it now. And if you kind of look back at the last month with the changes that have happened in that region, it's pretty impressive. So those are good signs.
All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, let's go to Cindy in Little Rock, Arkansas on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I would like to know some of the specific sanctions that have been placed upon North Korea.
So these are primarily economic sanctions, and it's just not North Korea. And I think Skip and Than could address this. It was also getting the Chinese involved in this, because the concern was that we could put sanctions in place, but if the Chinese were continuing to fund them, they wouldn't have had much of an impact. But so let's go to Than first and talk about the specific. It's a great question, Cindy, about the nature of the sanctions that we put on, and then we could talk about the trilateral aspect of it when we're dealing with these other countries.
Yeah, Jay, they were targeted and very specific. And look, North Korea doesn't have a huge economy, so just freezing assets did not do as much as it might have done in, say, Iran. But what these sanctions did, Jay, the most important ones were actually sanctions on shipping channels. Now, what does that mean? It means that as well as putting pressure on North Korea, it put pressure on their major trading partners, of which there is mainly one. That is China. That is why China came the United States' way in these negotiations and put pressure on Kim Jong-un to put denuclearization on the table. And if you'll remember, when the Chinese president visited with the North Korean leader, that's exactly what the North Korean leader said, that denuclearization was on the table. So the sanctions were specific, and it was the shipping channel sanctions that put the pressure on China and had the most impact.
Yeah. Skip, your sense.
Yeah, the big thing was much of what North Korea exports is coal. And they've limited who's going to buy the coal. So you have coal, but you can't sell it. You have no way of making money. The other thing is that we've limited the amount of oil that can be imported into North Korea. So both coal for their exchange rate, getting foreign currency, and oil to run their system, those are being choked off. And by doing that, we're choking the economy even further.
You know, Skip, the other thing I think we need to point out is, and we do a lot of this because we have offices all over the globe. And when you got, I mean, we literally have offices in Europe at Strasbourg, France, which is where the European Court of Human Rights sits, and the European Union. We have offices in Lahore, Pakistan. We have offices in Moscow. We have offices in Jerusalem. We have offices in Africa, I mean, in the continent of Africa. So, I mean, we have a lot of international reach. But when you're dealing with these multilateral negotiations, and that's what you've got here, the concern was, as Skip, as we were just talking about this, is that the Russians would end run it or the Chinese would end run it. So putting the right pressure on there has made, I think, a really significant difference in getting this to the table. Now, the president has got them to the table. Does that mean that they will do the right thing? The answer to that is I don't know. I think that one thing that's happened here is if these hostages actually are released, which all indications are they will be, that this will be deemed a confidence-building measure, which in diplomatic language, that means that these are steps you take, Skip, as you're about to enter major negotiations. In other words, good faith measures, confidence building measures that these negotiations could be fruitful and real.
That's exactly right. They're saying, okay, we're serious this time. You wanted this. We're going to give this to you up front with the idea that now, okay, we're demonstrating that we're serious. Come talk to us. We can strike a deal. And I think that's critical. And I also think it's critical for the president, who said, we're giving no concessions until you have given us a lot of what we want. We want that system that nuclear system shut down. We want tangible results before we give any concessions. In the past, it's always been concessions so that to encourage them to give tangible results, they promised them, never delivered, and continued on in the program they wanted. So this is a fundamentally different approach.
Yeah, and I think it's a fundamentally different approach that's actually bearing fruit. So this, I also think, Than, is a little bit of a symbolic or symbolically what we are doing in North Korea. It's more than symbolism. It's the actual actions of putting sanctions in place. It may take that with Turkey. Now, maybe with a new Secretary of State in there, that those negotiations could, but this is a NATO ally versus North Korea, so this should not be that difficult.
Well, once I think you see a situation in North Korea where it's working, Jay, then of course that strategy will be mirrored across the world. And, you know, President Trump and Secretary of State Pompeo have already said this. They have said that this is the strategy they will deploy when nations do not act as allies, which, you know, I know Turkey is technically a NATO ally. They are not behaving as an ally at this point. So I expect this to be replicated there. Jay, I'll say this too. When the North Korea situation started, all of the conversation was, what will the United States have to give to get the North Koreans to the table? President Trump came out very early and said, I will give nothing. Think about how far this conversation has moved. We're now no longer talking about what the United States will give. We are already seeing concessions made in the other direction. So it's working, and I expect to see it replicated in other regions of the world.
The second half hour of the broadcast, I want to get into, we talked about this yesterday, but you've got Mahmoud Abbas now saying that the history tells us that there is no basis for the Jewish homeland. So that's their, this is the agenda they're doing. And that's because the Palestinian Authority is being isolated by from the rest of the Arab world, because the rest of the Arab world predominantly wants a peaceful resolution of this and recognizes that not only is Israel right to exist, but Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Jordan recognize that Israel is an indispensable ally in this fight dealing with Iran. So you got this whole Palestinian aspect of it where they're trying to, you know, kind of cobble together what little, if you call, I don't like calling it credibility, a new approach. The problem with their new approach is, and in the Palestinian Authority front is, there's no international support for it. There's no pan-Arabism support for this. And I will take it a step further. They have isolated themselves to such an extent, Skip, I don't think that anything they do, even if they get international pressure via the UN right now, is going to have any impact in the region whatsoever. The allies of Israel, being now Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, some of the Gulf states, have reshaped that map drastically.
Absolutely. And it's because of the pressure primarily of Iran. So they're all concerned about Iran. So they've that does away with a lot of the other issues. Until you get Iran under control, the Sunni kingdoms over there are a little bit upset about that. The other thing is, which I find interesting, is when Mahmoud Abbas says that the Jews were never there, he's denying the teachings of the Quran. He's committing blasphemy. And I'm wondering when that's going to show up on the screen.
We do have a book about this that's out right now called Jerusalem. It's available only through TBN right now. We partnered with TBN's publishing arm, which is great because it gets in the hands of so many people. And Logan, you said that the special I did with Matt Laurie Crouch is going to be airing.
Airs tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern time. We actually have a graphic right here. Well, that's just the book. But yeah, 8 o'clock Eastern time. It will be running on TBN. But you can also watch it online on TBN's website right now. And it's a half-hour special, hour-long special, going into detail about the book and how you can get it right now through TBN.
Yeah, so TBN.org for that. All right, we're going to come back. Here's what I want. We're talking about Israel. We're going to talk about this historic move. How significant do you think it is that the President of the United States not only recognized Jerusalem as the capital, moved and turned the consulate into an embassy? That recognition is going to happen on May 14th in Jerusalem, Israel. What are your thoughts about that? What are your thoughts about the Palestinian Authority being isolated? 1-800-684-3110. We're going to open up our phone lines for you on that. We'll still talk about North Korea as well. But again, 1-800-684-3110 as we talk about all these issues. And as Logan said, tonight on TBN, we've got a special on Jerusalem you're not going to want to miss. So again, we encourage you to do that. And that's at aclj.org. And if you want to watch it, tbn.org. Back with more in a moment.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, aclj.org.
Talking about freedom.
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So North Korea is currently holding three American citizens prisoners. Two of them have been charged basically with spreading Christianity. Their release appears to be imminent. And then we have this coming out of the Palestinian Authority. The president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, just said, quote, history tells us there is no basis for the Jewish homeland, which is interesting because I just wrote a book about the Jewish homeland called Jerusalem, and it talks about the legal, biblical, and archaeological evidence that suggests not only and the legal aspects of a Jewish homeland, but there's been a consistent presence in that homeland since the times of the scriptures themselves. So we've got a special that's going to be airing on that tonight on TBN at, Logan, what time is that? You said 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock Eastern time. It's on. It's also available online. You can watch it whenever you'd like. But yeah, it's available. It's tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. And then it'll re-air, I believe, throughout the evening. I'll pull up the full schedule.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth a watch. It'll be great. And then you'll be shooting a special tonight that will then air
the next week.
Next Saturday.
You're going to see a lot on Israel the next week. Then we're going to be broadcasting on television out of Jerusalem. We've got a special week of broadcasts here on our radio and Facebook and Periscope and TV audiences on Israel as we celebrate the 70th anniversary of the founding of the modern state of Israel. That is not the actual, the history goes back a lot further than that. But anyways, we'll take your calls on all this at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. What I really want to know is your thoughts on this Jerusalem capital move, your thoughts on the Palestinian Authority saying, quote, history tells us there's no Jewish homeland, no basis for a Jewish homeland. Let me go to Skip Ash on that, who spends a lot of time in Israel. In fact, is on the way to Israel in a couple of days. We may cross over a day or two there. We have an office in Jerusalem, by the way. I view this Jerusalem move as historically significant on multiple scales, geopolitically, legally, within the international law realm, and also biblically. I mean, you look at just the scriptures themselves, and this is a kind of fulfillment of what we knew is set forth in the scriptures. But I think the idea here is very, very significant. Skip, what's your reaction to it?
It's absolutely significant. You know, when you look at the Bible, and every year they long, next year in Jerusalem, the Jews have been longing to go back to Jerusalem. Why would they go back to a place or call for a place they've never been before? That is absolute nonsense. Abbas is a Holocaust denier. He is a denier of Jewish history. He is just rewriting everything, and he's convincing some people within his community that that's true, but it's absolute nonsense. And since King David made Jerusalem the capital of Israel, it has remained the capital of Israel, even where people longed to come back to it, even during times when the Jews were driven out of the land. But they always came back, and they always wanted to come back to Jerusalem. So it's nonsense. But the idea now that the United States has finally followed through on the law that says that our embassy will be in the capital of the state of Israel, that is miraculous in my view. That can only happen with a man as strong as the current president who says, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm moving the embassy to the capital of our strongest ally in the Middle East. And I think next week we're going to see something that's going to be historic. People should take this and should mark that date because it's historic. The United States is hopefully going to be the first of a number of nations to move their embassies to the actual capital of Israel.
So Guatemala's moving theirs as well, I think, on the 18th. Skip, when do you come back?
I come back on the 12th.
You should extend it and stay for the opening of the embassy.
I'd love to.
Well, figure we're discussing our itineraries right here on national radio and overseas around the globe on Facebook and Periscope. But we'll talk about that after. You should do that because I think it's going to be what a time to be in Jerusalem. All right, so we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Than, the assessment, I guess, is clear here that the president's diplomatic policy in North Korea, at least we're getting to the table, and it looks like we're going to have the release of these hostages. But on the Israel front, I think the Palestinian Authority is isolating themselves. Where are we on funding issues? We'll talk about that when we come back, but give us a little quick shot on that.
Well, the president's made great strides on that, withheld the funding from UNRWA, which we've covered. Also, the Taylor Force Act passed, which blocks that funding until they end the pay for slay, which, by the way, Mahmoud Abbas says they will not do. We can tie this in after the break, Jay, but remember this. He said the United States can keep its money. Guess what? Let's take him up on that offer. Let's keep our money and not send it to him for that purpose anymore.
Yeah. See how long they can do without that. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Tell me this, your view on the importance of the Jerusalem move, the recognition of this week, historic week coming up. Talk about Pastor Andrew Brunson, his trial starting Monday. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Back with more, including your calls and comments in just a moment.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Programming note for you tonight on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I'm on with Matt and Laurie Crouch regarding my new book on Jerusalem, and that's available through TBN at tbn.org. It'll be in the bookstores in June. We'll be having it available later as well. But again, we'll encourage you to go over there to TBN, and we're going to have a special program tonight that I'll be on. Looking forward to that. Taping with Mike Huckabee, a program that's going to air next week. But what's the interesting, it'll be a great program, but Mike Huckabee is going to be playing bass guitar in our band. And that, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to do the Doobie Brothers tune, Jesus Is Just All Right, and then an original that we did called Hope of Jerusalem. So that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, we're taking your calls also at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I'm joined by Skip Ash, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, who is going to be in Israel starting this weekend. And then Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. And we are taking your calls again, 1-800-684-3110. Want to know your comments on the Jerusalem matter and other issues that we're covering. Let's go ahead and take Steve out of Maryland on line one. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hi. You know, I'm listening to you speak. I listen to the news. They've basically stopped talking about this. I know that's a political event. They want to not give any credit due to a president that they despise. But you know, I can't imagine, you know, I have great fears. Listen, this has to be done. This is the right thing to do legally, morally, historically. It will go down as just a tremendous event. But I'm fearful of the reprisal that might occur as a result of this move. And I want to ask, are there legal challenges going on to the move right now?
So, I mean, the legal challenge, really, under international law, they really have no case to do it. Now, that does not stop the Palestinian Authority from bringing something within international tribunals or within the United Nations, right, Skip? But legally, we are the United States is clearly in the right, and the State of Israel, as a sovereign nation, is in the legal right to do exactly what they did by declaring Jerusalem their capital. That's undisputed. But legally, they may try moves, but there's not a lot of world support for that, and frankly, I think they don't have court support either. What's your take on that, Skip?
Yeah, most of the resistance is going to be political. They're going to appeal to the Europeans to say this is going to upset the apple cart, and it's going to make it'll infringe on the fact that we will ever have a two-state solution, this, that, and the other. But they've had multiple opportunities to accept the Israel. They won't take yes for an answer. Israel has given them multiple opportunities to have a state and gave them up to 98% of everything they wanted, and they still said no. So they're not serious about this. They're not ready for a state. What they want to do is to continue to have a situation where they can bluster and do all sorts of things and try to get the international community to delegitimize Israel, but they are not ready on their own to set up a state. And if they were to get one tomorrow, they would lose it because they don't know what to do with it.
There's also another important aspect of that. And the Jerusalem Embassy Act, as Stan Bennett points out, has been on the books since 1995. Now, we've had successive Republican and Democrat administrations that have refused to implement it. And now you had a president that did. So, Than, I mean, the law was already established. And by the way, bipartisan support on that.
Yeah, exactly. This goes directly to Steve's point. If you only look at U.S. law, the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995, on the books for more than 20 years, has required, listen to this, Jay, it has required that the embassy, the United States Embassy in Israel, should be established in Jerusalem no later than May 31st, 1999. You're talking about 19 years ago. Now, the next section of that bill provided the President of the United States with the sole waiver authority to suspend that move for a period of 6 months at a time. Jay, every single president since then, Republican and Democrat, starting with Bill Clinton all the way to Donald Trump, has used that waiver authority to push back that date 6 months. President Trump is the one that is finally following the law that was passed in 1995, a good 18 years after the deadline inside the act. So, you know, there are certainly international law factors here, but if you only look at U.S. law has required this move since 1995, and it should have been done in 1999.
But the fact of the matter is it is done. It is on the books. The president executed. Now, you got a couple of major events happening. I'm going to look at world events here. So you've got the trial of Andrew Brunson starts on Monday. That's May 7th. We have Israel, the capital, the Israel Independence Day celebration, May 14th, with the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, May 14th. And then between that, May 12th, is the Iran, whether the president certifies the Iran deal, the so-called nuclear deal. You've got a lot of international issues at play, and at the ACLJ, our team is involved in a lot of these from a legal standpoint, from a policy standpoint. So again, we'll talk about all these. We'll take your questions and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But you got to think about the fact that look what's at play here. I mean, you've got, Skip, I think about the events to transpire in the next week. The Andrew Brunson trial starts in Turkey. The ACLJ engaged in that. The move to the embassy opening up in Jerusalem on May 14th, we've been pressing that for since that law's been on the books and will be there for the celebrations. And then in between that, we've got the Iran sanctions issue of whether the president's going to recertify the so-called Iran deal. This is, you look at just the world events in the next week, and it's you understand the complex nature of the world we live in.
Absolutely. We're busy involved in those aspects of the history, but also just think about the president and what he's done. Since he's been in office, he has run into minefield after minefield put out there for him by Democrats, and he overcomes that. Look what he has done. Years and years of both administrations, both parties with Korea, President Trump has gotten very close to talks. We look at the whole situation again about Jerusalem. Every administration says no. Here, this administration says yes. So we've got a president who, even with all this resistance, is moving forward and moving forward in meaningful ways. Imagine what would happen if he didn't have all that opposition from Congress, where we could be. The economy could be that much better off. We could have secure borders. We could have all sorts of things. But he's still accomplished things, even with all that resistance.
And, Than, we did get the Taylor Force Act through, and I think it's important to remind everybody what that act stands for, and that was bipartisan, passed bipartisan, what that means.
Well, it was a monumental win, Jay, because when you couple it with the move that the administration made on the UNRWA program, which was the United Nations Relief Works Agency, defunding them, then the Taylor Force Act passed, which basically said, Jay, that the United States will not send any economic support funds. That is basically the majority of the funding that ends up in the Palestinian Authority's hands until they end their pay-for-slave program. What is the pay-for-slave program? That is the program that the Palestinian Authority was using to reward terrorists, Jay. When a terrorist would inflict an act of violence, they would pay that terrorist or the surviving family of that terrorist. And Jay, they would do it in proportion to the dollars they were receiving from the United States. So Republicans and Democrats came together and sent a bill to the desk of the president that said, you will not get any economic support funds until you stop this program. They have not stopped that program. So Jay, guess what? The United States has essentially defunded the Palestinian Authority between these two moves. We've been working for that for 20 years. Those are major, major accomplishments in the span of the the last 6 months.
So when people ask, what does it mean when you all sign a petition or respond in a particular way, that's what it means. So, I mean, great results, but great results because our teams are working and you are behind us, allowing us to do it. That also comes on the heels of what we talked about yesterday, where in federal court documents that we started receiving or ordered by the federal court, and in some of our litigation against the State Department involving this One Voice group, we find that there was a plan to unseat Benjamin Netanyahu, the duly elected prime minister of the state of Israel, talking about election interference that what the State Department was engaged in. And they said to a letter to Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, oh, there was no funds used for that. And then we got the plan that the State Department had when they made the grant, and it provided money to unseat Benjamin Netanyahu and his, quote, right-wing allies. So, Fan, and well, let me go to Skip on this. It shows you the nature and scope of what's going on behind the scenes with people. You know, these bureaucrats that are in there, it's very hard to get your policy through when you're getting this kind of internal opposition.
Absolutely. And I, you know, as we discussed this whole issue with the Palestinians, the Palestinians are the only refugees in the world who are not handled by a separate or handled with a separate agency. All other refugees fall under an individual and an agency within the United Nations, and their goal is to have these people resettled within 5 years, and they normally succeed. Because of UNRWA, the Palestinians have been, ever since 1948, they have remained refugees, and that is what's caused the problem in the Middle East to continue to churn, because these people have not been settled. They're still considered refugees, and it's time to settle them and solve the problem between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
And as Than points out, we are in court on the UNRWA right now. I mean, Than, we are in legal proceedings on that issue right now.
So many of these issues tie in, Jay. Skip's comments about the Palestinian refugees. You know, the State Department has for a long time claimed there's 5 million refugees there. There was a report commissioned 2 years ago that all reports are, Jay, it debunks that by a wide, wide margin. That report has not been released. We are in a lawsuit right now against the State Department for that report to come out to expose that lie. And, Jay, it will reaffirm that the move to defund UNRWA by the Trump administration was long overdue and certainly the correct one.
All right, we're going to be taking your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. So, again, phone lines are open for you. We cleared lines out, so now you can ask us about anything in the last segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. So our phone lines are open for you. We're going to have a music break here coming up. I think we're going to play That's the Way You Got... Well, maybe not. Where I Stand? Okay, we got an original coming for you. Where I Stand. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to be playing that tonight for the audience at Mike Huckabee's taping. So that'll be a lot of fun. Again, if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Stay tuned. A lot more ahead, including your calls and comments. We'll be right back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Brunson's on trial facing charges of Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. After hearing testimony, including accusations from unidentified and secret witnesses designed to discredit Pastor Brunson, the judge in the case said the trial would continue on May 7th and ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to prison. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. As you can imagine, the news is devastating to Pastor Brunson and his family. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. Between now and the next court date of May 7th, we have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.org.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, I'm on a special on Israel, on Jerusalem, actually, in Israel, with Matt and Laurie Crouch on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. You're going to want to stay tuned, or I shouldn't say stay tuned, you're going to want to watch that. It's also the official announce of our book release called Jerusalem. So that book is now out through TBN and their publishing arm. It'll be in bookstores at the end of June, but you can get your copy now through TBN. You'll be able to get copies from us later in the summer. It'll be in the bookstores in June, and we're really excited. I hate to say this is a great book when you're the author of the book, but I am the author of the book with a lot of team support here, and I will tell you this was something we worked on for 3 years. And this is the third book in our kind of trilogy of Middle East books, starting with Rise of ISIS. Then we did the book Unholy Alliance, which was more focused on Iran and Syria, and then the book on Jerusalem. And what I'm looking forward to is next year we're going to package all three of those as a three-bound, three-book set that you'll be able to get. But we're really excited about all of this. So again, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, Chris does. He's calling from Nevada. Hi, Chris. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Hey. I'd love to see the money that was going to go to the Palestinians used to fund the embassy in Jerusalem.
Well, here's the good news there. That embassy is opening up on the 14th of May, and then a more permanent facility will be put in place for security reasons. That's going to take a little bit of time, although the president said he's going to get it done early and under budget. But, Skip, you can't understate the historic significance of what's about to happen next week.
You can't at all. Finally, the major nation in the world is finally going to move its embassy, its representation, into the actual capital of its greatest ally in the Middle East. The United States, when we made that decision, that was such an important decision to make. And I think once we have our embassy up and running, even the temporary one up and running, that's going to be significant and it's going to be symbolic for the entire world. And I think that's going to start others to follow suit and move their embassies to Jerusalem.
No, I think that's exactly right. And the historic precedent here is pretty incredible. Than, what's your sense of Congress on this? I mean, obviously the president implemented an act that was passed 20-something years ago, but I think it's been well-received generally.
Yeah, overwhelmingly supportive. And just directly to the caller's question, Jay, they will overwhelmingly support the dollars that are necessary to build the new facilities. I don't think there will be almost any objection to that. And then the economic support dollars that are freed up by withholding those funds, Jay, those can be used to give to our actual allies. But in Congress, Republicans and Democrats will stand behind this move, and they will appropriate the dollars necessary to see it through all the way to the end.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're taking more calls. Logan at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Cornell in Greensboro, North Carolina. You're on the air.
Hi, Cornell. You're on.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Great.
I'm calling. Well, first of all, I want to salute the movement of the embassy as an American Christian minister. I'm excited about that. But in relation to Andrew Brunson,
yes.
I'm hearing that there's some, I guess, tie to a release of a Muslim cleric in the U.S. that they're trying to tie this to.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how much of an impact you believe that's going to have to the success of getting him released.
Well, I think Andrew Brunson's case, I mean, the trial starts again on Monday, so hopefully we'll have live broadcasts from Turkey as we did last time, where we were getting reports from the actual hearing. But look, the cleric they're talking about is Fethullah Gulen. He leads a movement called the Gulen Movement. Now, the Erdogan blames Gulen for starting this so-called coup. I'm not so sure that was... I think it was this coup, or whatever you want to call it, that took place 2 years ago, was actually started by Erdogan to consolidate his power. Now, having said that, the Turks have filed extradition papers on Gulen, but they don't anywhere meet our standards in the United States. So no one's shipping this guy back to this cleric back to Turkey. But look, Erdogan has said, you have our cleric, we have your cleric. You let our cleric come back to Turkey now. You send him back to Turkey now. We will let your cleric be tried through our judiciary. Sounds like not a very reasonable exchange, but the United States is not going to be held hostage by Erdogan's move. But we need to get Andrew Brunson out, and this is the National Day of Prayer. So I want to encourage those that are watching and listening to this broadcast or seeing it around the world to continue to uplift in prayer. Back in court on Monday on that, our team's been working on the witness interviews for 3 weeks, pretty much nonstop. So we'll give you a report on that in the days ahead.
All right, let's go back to the phones. John's calling in Montana on line 2, and if you want to get your voice heard, call us right now, 1-800-684-3110. John, though, welcome.
Hi, John.
Hello. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I was just calling. So we have a tester coming up for election.
I've heard.
And I want to know how he votes, or how he's voted in the past on issues, so that I can get that out so other people will know maybe that his commercials aren't actually true.
Yeah, so let's go to Than Bennett, our director of governmental affairs. He follows this stuff closely. The Senator by the way, we don't support or endorse candidates on this broadcast, but you asked us about his issues. We can answer that if Than, you got that information.
Yeah, the public voting record is certainly something that every voter should access, no matter if you have a Republican or Democrat representing you. For a senator, the best place to probably go is Senate.gov. You can see all of the recent votes. Jay, when we talk about an issue, we always say in advance, look, when the vote is cast, we will tell you who falls on which side of the vote. I will tell you that the most recent one we followed was the confirmation of Mike Pompeo. 7 Democrats did cross over and vote with Republicans to confirm him. John Tester was not one of them, Jay. So I don't know if that's the vote that John is talking about or not, but I can tell you that in that particular case, he opposed the nomination or the confirmation of Mike Pompeo. But all of the votes are available at Senate.gov. And in case you want to see a House vote, that would be at Congress.gov.
Yeah, so there you go. That's a good resource to get. Skip, I want to go back to the Israel situation for a moment. You're going to a major security conference. Tell us a little about what goes on there. I mean, we have offices, of course, in Jerusalem, but what goes on in these conferences?
Well, this is an invitation-only conference. They invite people from around the world. A lot of people there are military. A lot of people there are from intelligence agencies around the world. And what they do is they discuss issues concerning Israel and the region, the Middle East region, having to do with current events. We'll be talking about Iran. We'll be talking about the relationship with Turkey and how Turkey is tending now towards becoming more Islamist and moving away from its Western orientation. So we have those discussions, and we also have there's sort of a war game. It's like a political game where people represent various regions of the world, and they throw out a situation, and then you respond about how each nation would probably respond. So it's very enlightening, and it's sort of forward-looking, so we can forecast what to expect in the not-too-distant future.
By the way, the American Center for Law and Justice, we've got a full office in Jerusalem, right in the heart of Jerusalem, actually. So we're looking forward to being with our team in Jerusalem the latter part of next week. Skip's going to be over there even over the weekend. All right, that is going to pretty much wrap it up for today. Let me talk about this, though. We've got a special that it was produced by TBN. We've got a book that is out right now exclusively through TBN called Jerusalem. And there it is on the, you see it on the screen right now, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital and for the Jewish homeland, for that matter. And this is going to be airing tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And then I'm sure it re-airs throughout the night, and also talks about the book we've written. So very excited about that. We are also taping Mike Huckabee's broadcast tonight. We're going to talk about the book. We're going to have our band play with Mike Huckabee, and we'll actually be able to bring you some music next week from the band performing at Huckabee Studios, which is an incredible facility in Tennessee. Really, very, really well done. So we've got a lot going on, and then, of course, we'll come to you tomorrow. But then Monday, don't forget, as we're in the National Day of Prayer, your prayers for Andrew Brunson and for these 3 hostages in North Korea are vital. His case goes back to trial on Monday. So got a lot of work to do over the weekend getting ready for that. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged. We'll again see you tomorrow on the broadcast, but you can stay engaged during the day. As soon as those hostages are released, we'll let everybody know.
Absolutely. You can find all that breaking news and information at ACLJ.org, as well as on all our social media outlets. So we're on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Just find Jay Sekulo, ACLJ. Just look for us there. Make sure you sign up to date. Download the ACLJ app. Subscribe to the podcast.
There's been a very troubling development in the trial of Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey. Instead of being returned to the prison where he had been held most recently, though, the judge ordered Pastor Brunson to be taken back to an extremely overcrowded prison where he was held initially. At the ACLJ, we're stepping up our aggressive campaign to secure the freedom of Pastor Brunson. We have a critical opportunity to turn up the pressure on the Turkish government. Add your name to our petition right now, ACLJ.